You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Well, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. You feel it?
Hey, vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, the fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Laugh hard.
Run fast.
Be kind. Doctor, I let you go.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. That's right, folks. We are back again, and the summer is here. The long, hot summer with no Doctor Who. God, it's almost feeling like we're waiting and waiting and waiting. We're being patient, of course.
But, yeah. We sound really patient.
We do sound patient, don't we? So, we've recruited another person to talk about one of their favorite episodes of Doctor Who. So this week, we're going to be talking about The Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone, two-parter with the wonderful 11th Doctor and River Song. Should be very fun to see. There's a lot of firsts in this one, and we'll talk all about it. So let's welcome our guest for this week. Let's welcome Barbara to the show. Welcome to our Station Who.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
You know, we've met a few times, and you do have a special place in our hearts because you are the sister of Barry Ogle, our other co-host.
That helps.
It does. So
she's very lucky.
What, to have you as a sister?
Exactly.
Or just to be on the show tonight?
She's both.
Okay.
She is blessed.
So we will talk in a little bit about, you know, why you picked this episode, but tell everyone a little bit about yourself real quick.
Let's see. Mary's sister.
Wow. Wow, that's a quick Wikipedia listing.
I thought that said it all.
I am the center of her universe.
That cat.
The sunshine of her life. Got it. Okay, that makes all sense.
Well, he's a Doctor Who fan. You don't need more than that.
How long have you been watching Doctor Who for?
I came in with Tom Baker, and I imagine it was reruns then. So before college.
Oh, sure.
Watch it with the folks.
Right.
My sister.
Gotcha. So that's pretty awesome. And, you know, we could ask you lots of questions, what it was like growing up with Mary as a sister.
No, don't do that. You don't want to know. I was a perfect angel, though, not a weeping angel.
Well, we don't have to call you Bob in this one.
Yes, you may call me Angel Mary.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people do that. Hello.
The halo tips a little.
Yeah, well, it's a little tarnished on the sides, right? Let's welcome our co-host for this week. Of course, let's welcome the one and only Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here.
Is it kind of weird having your sister here?
It is kind of weird, but it's also kind of awesome. I've been bugging her to pick an episode and be on the show because she's a big Doctor Who fan. In fact, she was a fan before I was because she's a lot older
than me. Lots. And it's embarrassing how much I've forgotten now.
Yeah, she has hardly forgotten anything. Don't listen to her. She's very knowledgeable about it, as you will see on the show.
Can't wait. Sounds awesome. And of course, the one and only, who's not even an angel at heart anyway, Mr. Mike Gordon. Mike?
Hi.
Mike.
Hello.
Darn.
Howdy.
Well, that's what the mute button does. Got it.
Hey, I was named after an angel. I was named after, like, the angel.
But he was an archangel, I thought.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Well, that's true. So you might have some. No, you don't have any angel in you. Tiki angel, maybe.
Maybe.
So we are going to be talking all about this. And if you haven't seen this episode yet, as River Song likes to say, spoilers, darling.
How exciting. Spoilers.
So it should be a lot of fun. We definitely want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. Okay, let's get started with this week's Rants and Raves, where we talk about everything that's on our minds. All right, folks, no new Doctor Who news. San Diego Comic-Con is coming up in 2 weeks, and that's where we're going to probably get some Doctor Who news and probably the first trailer for the new season. I'm sure they're going to play it for the audience there, and then within 30 seconds after, it'll be up on YouTube.
Yeah. I hope we do get a trailer. I really want to see what Jodie's going to be like as the Doctor. And I know there was some leakage a few days ago, but I deliberately did not watch that.
No, I didn't either. Did you see it, Mikey?
No, I don't. You know I don't watch that stuff.
I know. I was being jokingly. I know you don't look at that type of stuff.
But, man, I tell you what, the people that, like, I mean, the BBC's serious. They're going after him, too. They're trying to find out, like, who did the leak, and they're going to pay. So, good for them, man. That's just bad behavior. I mean, it's just a story, you know? Like, let us enjoy. You know, it used to be so cool not knowing, you know. I think we sometimes know way too much, more than we should.
No, I'm looking forward to being surprised. And that's what, you know, that's the best part about it. I purposely didn't look at it. I didn't even post it up on Earth Station Who when I found out about it. Of course, our friend Adam Garcia did, so he had no problem putting it up there.
You know, in Adam's defense, I mean, he's privy to a lot of exclusive stuff that he sees before anybody else. So for him, it's nothing new. But yes, I do think that, you know, it was not cool to share it. But, you know, like take the stories that we're about to review. I mean, I know in the trailers they spoiled that both the Weeping Angels and River was going to be in it. But just watching it again and seeing how they're introduced within the story itself, it's really cool. Like, if you don't know, like, it's an honest, like, surprise. Like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Well, yeah, the stilettos kind of give it away, though, when you first see the episode.
Not really, because this is only the second time we'd seen her. So we had no idea she wore stilettos.
Wow, true.
What is the hang up with the stilettos? It's the one thing I don't think about when I think of River Song. But they're just so iconic.
Yes.
No, they're just stilettos. But they show up. Remember, they show up in the archives later.
That's true.
Here's it's Hello, Sweetie.
Yes.
That's your
reason. And the looks she gives.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The way she plays off the Doctor.
Oh, the chemistry between Matt and Alex are just wonderful. But we'll talk about that in the few minutes. So we also don't really have much other stuff to talk about for Doctor Who news other than the leakage, except for one pretty major thing. Those who are coming to Dragon Con 2018, we are going to have a Doctor there.
Woo! Not just a Doctor, a very recent Doctor.
That's right. For the first time ever, Peter Capaldi is coming to Dragon Con.
Yay!
He's bringing a companion with him, too.
He is. Pearl Mackie will also be there. That is pretty darn awesome.
So cool. So cool.
It is awesome.
He's great.
He's
such a good companion.
It's great because it was funny because I was talking to Caro, the director of Britrax, the day after the announcement. She says, I was just as surprised, but I had to hold it for 3 days because she that's when she found out about it.
Oh, man, that must have been so hard.
Mm-hmm. She said, I was like screaming to my husband, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. It was awesome, though. And it's going to be great. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him speak. I heard he's a wonderful person. And I heard Pearl's great too, so it should be very awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we get a Nardo or a Jenna Coleman. Maybe. It'd be kind of cool.
You know, I think they're done. I would be. I think they're done announcing Doctor Who guests. So we're lucky to get these two.
Brett Track says they have one more British guest coming. So that's all I know.
A Doctor Who guest?
I don't know. You know, it'd be very interesting to see who's coming, and I'm not going to complain. Whoever it is.
No, I mean, right now it's awesome, and it really ties into our panel at that we're doing for Brit Trek, so I'm really excited about that.
We can make the announcement now, because they have put out a tentative schedule, and we are up on there.
Woohoo!
So we can formally announce it that I think it is going to be, as of right now, I think it is on Saturday at Dragon Con. I don't have times yet, because things change so much there. We are going to be doing Earth Station Who looks at the Peter Capaldi era. So we're going to be doing a 12th Doctor retrospective. I think it's going to be pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. And we got to be careful, you know, what we say, because he's right there.
He might be standing in the back of the room waiting to hear us say something. Either that or he'll sick Mark Shepard on us again, you know.
Oh, no, we're old friends with Mark Shepard now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Speak for yourself. He is my enemy. I will cut him.
Of course you will.
Hey, he finally liked your question.
Finally, he liked his question. Yeah, there finally. You're getting to the point. That was pretty darn awesome. And, you know, it was just great meeting him at Con K. And we just had a blast. I can tell you this also for folks who are coming to the Atlanta Comic Con. Keep your ears out, because we might have some news on that the weekend of, I think it's mid-July, isn't it, Mikey?
It's in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, also.
It's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they haven't set out their schedule yet, but I know there's going to probably be an Earth Station Who panel there, too.
Ooh.
So I can't give any more details yet, because that's still hush hush, wink wink, nudge nudge type stuff. So, yes,
but if you are planning to attend, if you're listening to this prior to the Atlanta Comic Con at the Georgia World Congress Center, and yes, if you are interested in us and are interested in Doctor Who related programming, yes, just keep tabs on the Earth Station Who Facebook group, because we will be sure to announce things there once they are set in stone.
Exactly. Maybe River will write it in stone for us.
In flesh and stone.
Oh.
I will not write that in Gallifreyan. I do not write in old Gallifreyan.
Old high Gallifreyan.
Mm-hmm. Well, his handwriting is really bad anyway, so I can understand why. But yeah, so we're going to be there. We're going to be talking all things Doctor Who, but I can't give you any more details yet. So it should be cool, and it'll be me and Mike as of right now, and maybe a friend or two might be showing up with us. So you never know what could happen, but it's going to be a big con. They have tons of guests. We are going just to have a great time and talk to people. So we hopefully will be able to see you guys there too. So I think that is all for Doctor Who news. So let's take a quick break, and we will be back in a moment. And, you know, we got a lot of weeping angels to talk all about. Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but now you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network, Patreon's easy. All you have to do is click on the link on the top navigation of the ESO Network website, or go to patreon.com/ESO Network. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
Keep looking, it can't move if you're looking.
Okay.
Don't blink, Amy, don't even blink.
The
time will be upon us. The time of angels.
All right. Get ready, folks. We're going back in our TARDIS 8 years. Can you believe it? To 2010. April of 2010, we had The Time of the Angels and Flesh and Stone, and a two-parter, and it actually has a very special place because this actually was the very first story that Matt Smith actually filmed as the Doctor.
That's right. Yeah, they actually filmed them out of order, and this was the very first one, and in fact, Stephen Moffat wanted Alex Kingston to be there to kind of help ease them into it because they were both relatively new actors, Karen and Matt.
Exactly. And you could, God, looking at him, how young, actually both of them look in this comparatively.
Well, I think Karen's like 19 or 20 and Matt's what? 28.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, very young.
Well, exactly. I was going to say 16, 17, you know, but yeah, he did look young. So
do all the companions come in young?
Most of them do.
These days.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting though, because it's been a while since I've actually seen this one, and it actually kept me riveted for the 2 45-minute episodes, and it was great. It was a lot of fun, and I love the cliffhanger in this one. It was.
It is a great cliffhanger, mm-hmm. And the cold opening is great too. The very first part with River on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have no idea where it's going, you know, mm-hmm. And it was pretty awesome. So, Barbara, why did you choose this one?
It's our intro to River. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know it's not the first time we saw River, but this is the time when we really see River Song come in, and she has got to be one of the ultimate characters on Doctor Who. She is so much fun, and she plays it so well. And just the interaction between her and Matt Smith is just great. And this episode has all these lovely little pieces that we get introduced to, as well as one of the best enemies in Doctor Who, the Weeping Angels.
Oh, sure.
It's got to be one of the best monsters I've seen in a long while.
Well, we didn't know back then if the angels were going to be one and done in that one story with the 10th Doctor, and actually which was a Doctor Light story because that was the Sally Sparrow story episode.
Right. He was barely in it.
Yes.
And Martha even less.
Well, exactly. Martha was just like griping in the video.
Well, yes. I'm you're right about going on Blink and all, but this is still just, so you're right. It's the return of them.
Well, this expands because,
which was an excellent episode. Sorry, go on.
Oh no, this expands on the angels majorly because mm-hmm. even the Doctor says the ones I had met earlier were scavengers and such. These are full force angels. It took just one angel to crash a spaceship.
Yeah, these are predators. They are out to take over not only this world but the universe. They're ramping up to full power, and the stakes are really high in this story, and that's one of the things that makes it so exciting. It's really a big action adventure type of story.
And it's pretty risky. I mean, even though Stephen's bringing back two of his most popular creations when he wasn't the showrunner, so you'd think, oh, he's just using those as a crutch, but it's really risky because, he was pretty much finished. You know, we saw River, quote unquote, like die, right? So, and the Weeping Angels were so cool, you're kind of worried that the more we see them, that'll dilute the original story that they're in. So you've got two iconic figures in Doctor Who, but it wasn't a slam dunk just to use them again. But I think Stephen does a really, really great job at sort of reintroducing them and not only reintroducing them, but develop them even further. So they're not diluted. They're not weaker. In fact, I think they're both stronger.
I agree. I think they're both stronger too. And I love how Stephen Moffat plays with time and their sort of backwards relationship, and her leaving him the message that he doesn't get for 12,000 years. I mean, it's a time travel, you know, show, and yet sometimes they don't really play with time like they could. And Stephen Moffat was really a master of that.
You know, in the panels we had done in the past, talking about Moffat, we always said that was the one thing that Moffat really always did well, was play with time. And this was a great showing of it, because, you know, her writing the message and leaving it for him, and how she was like, she knew he would be going through a museum looking for things that related to him. And it was awesome anyway, when they were going through the museum and he was like, I mean, that's not right. Oh, that's not correct. Oh, that's mine. Oh, that was mine too. It was just awesome.
Yeah. You can't, it's hard to believe that was his first episode film, because he was so much in character, if you will. It didn't have the awkwardness that you would expect when you first time, filming something, where you're trying to settle into your character, that he, stumbled on already the kind of things that he brings to that particular doctor's portrayal.
Absolutely. He is, I was remarking that too, because I had forgotten that this was the first one he filmed, because, I mean, technically it's his fourth, right? That yes. aired. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, oh, yeah, he kind of got the, like, you know, kind of the kinks out in the first three or whatever, because by this time, he's just so good and he's so fun to watch. He's just, he goes a mile a minute. He's always moving. He's always thinking. He's really, you know, I don't think, you know, sometimes I don't think I give Matt enough credit for what a brilliant performer as the Doctor in particular that he is. And you know, when David started, you know, I think all of us were kind of like, whoa, what's going on with this guy? We didn't really know him. We were uncertain. And for me, you know, that first episode the first episode of that season, his first season with New Earth, when he sort of blasts the cat nun by saying, you know, if you want to take it to a higher authority, there is none. It stops with me. And I thought, okay, this is the Doctor. I know David is now my Doctor. Like, he is the Doctor. Well, similarly, Matt's speech here at the end of the first cliffhanger, the first episode, where he says, you know, didn't anyone ever tell you there's one thing you never put in a trap? Like, that is like a moment that just makes the back of my hair like stand up, right? And I just get all excited. I mean, it's such a great delivery of a great line, and it just no other character that can do these lines other than the Doctor.
Oh, sure, of course. And you know what? That's a great, great thing that he was able to capture that. And many of the moments in this, the interaction between him and Amy was wonderful already, you know, the going back mm-hmm. and forth, and, you know, her teasing him about, you know, who's River, you know, oh, she's so your wife, you know, that type of thing. And it was just great, because this is the first episode them acting together. The chemistry was already there.
Yeah. The chemistry between all three of them is really pretty amazing. And they're all just, there's so much depth to their characters. I mean, all three of them are performing their hearts out, and it's very believable. And I mean, Matt has this just otherworldliness to him. He's dramatic and comedic almost at the same time sometimes. And Alex Kingston the same way. And this though brings me to a point that the only part of this story, these stories, I do not like is at the very end, where they have the Amy kissing scene.
Yeah.
It feels so just like packed on and out of character for both of them and awkward.
Yes and no. It wasn't really out of character for Amy, because, you know, it almost was like, let's get it out of the way, because they've had it the whole time with Tennant and the companions, especially Rose. They wanted to, you know, he has a hot, you know, cute 19-year-old companion who's about to get married, but who had this huge crush on the doctor the whole time since she was 7 years old, because she was the girl who waited. This was all coming out, and I'm glad they addressed it. And the doctor basically said, no, 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 no. It just never worked, you know? And I'm so glad they did, because there was some tension between the three of them later in the series, between Rory, Amy, and the doctor. But it all, you know, this showed how different Matt's doctor was from David's.
Yeah, he's almost like, the thing about Matt's doctor is that he's almost asexual. Like, he's not, I mean, he's not David Tennant, right? Not at all. So you just don't get that vibe, that flirty vibe from him. I mean, it's even awkward later, I think, when he and River get married. You're kind of like, this is weird. But
see, I disagree with that. I think he's very flirty with River. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Smith and Alex Kingston are flirting up a storm
throughout
this whole thing. And I think one of the reasons why it feels awkward to me with the kiss is for Amy's kiss is because it just, they haven't set it up correctly. So it just comes out of left field. And it's actually, it makes more sense when you get to know more about her character later on.
Yeah, that's true.
But watching it for the first time, I was just like, this scene does not belong here.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, it is not really part of the story. It's really more of a prelude to the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
I don't even usually look at it as being part of this one, because you're right. It doesn't. The only thing that really sparks it is she's jealous, obviously, of River. But in an almost like, I think she's really awesome kind of way. And she also, you know, I mean, Amy goes through a lot in this story, and it's hard not to feel for her. I mean, Karen does such a good job with, especially in the second part where she's blind, that whole sequence, because it's really up to Karen to sell that. If she can't sell it, we're not buying it. Because really, the guys who are playing the cleric troops or whatever, they're not great. So like,
no, so they get picked off pretty soon.
Right. But I mean, they're pretty standard. I mean, I don't mean to rag on them in particular, but I mean, Ian's great. I think that's how you pronounce his name, right? Ian Glenn, who's played Father Octavian, he's awesome, and it's a great role for him. But the others are just kind of like, you know, I mean, they're cannon fodder, really.
Yeah.
Oh, of course they are. But most of the time they are on the show.
So it's up to her to sell that sequence where, you know, she can't see the big old bright light. She can't, you know, she's got to make her way through the forest. And man, it's like, your heart goes out to her, because you're like, I don't know what I would do in that scenario. Like, I would just like lay down in a ball and just be like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. What I really like about that sequence is she does not overplay it, which would be understandable for somebody who's young and basically inexperienced, but she actually keeps it reined in, and it makes it very believable.
Oh, very much so.
Hats off to Karen Gillan. I'm not, she sometimes, I think, doesn't get the respect she deserves as an actress and as a companion, but I think she Amy was a wonderful companion, I think, and she and a lot of that was up to Karen Gillan's performance.
I think she was a great companion, but I think she's another one that stayed half a season too long.
Yeah, well, that whole season 7 was kind of
And so
don't dwell on that. Let's dwell on this episode.
Oh, we are. Thank you, Barbara. But I just thought it was neat to see, you know, Karen in this. It's just like she handled it all really well. The scene with her, with the angel on the video screen.
Oh, wasn't that a lovely, creepy scene?
Oh, that creeped the hell out of me when I first saw it.
As if they're not creepy enough, right? Right. Like, they're not creepy enough. You think, oh, well, they just have, okay, so now I know what they do. I saw Blink, you know, they da 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 da. But then they put on top of that, like, no, the image of an angel is an angel. And even though that makes no sense, like they really work it. And by the end of it, you're like, oh, this is so freaky. I can't even look at them.
Yeah, whoever filmed that scene, they did an excellent job.
Yes.
And Karen's reaction was awesome.
Adam Smith was the director and he was really good. Yes. Yeah, I agree. Karen's reaction was again, she could have easily overplayed that, and she didn't.
She not at all.
Very believable.
Now, and how many people geeked out when Amy and River meet for the first time?
Well, of course, now that we know.
I mean, yes, now that we know their relationship, like, why, this is the first time I think I've seen this episode since I've known. So when they meet for the first time and they sort of bond right away, and I'm like, mother effer, did Steven like know, like, did, how much do they know? Like with that, because it feels right. It feels like a meeting between a mother and a daughter. Like it just like, but they don't know, but they have this connection. Like they could have easily not got along.
Exactly.
We've seen other companions in the past, like not get along with another.
Meeting your parents for the first time when they're teenagers. where did I see that before? Great Scott. I know where it is now. So yeah, it was pretty awesome that, you know, I wonder if she looked at the doctor and she says, you don't know who I am yet. And that was just awesome. And because nobody knew, we didn't know. And, you know, when Father Octavius was like saying, you know, she killed a great man, you don't know who she's talking about. You kind of are trying to go, who did she kill? You know, and it was like, oh, it couldn't have been the doctor, blah, 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 you know. Oh, little did we know, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting coming back to this episode after you know what her storyline is, because you can view it in an entirely different way. There's all these little clues there that you suddenly pick up on. And also, I mean, it holds up. I mean, it really, even, you know, knowing all of that does not take the fun out of it.
No, because it constantly keeps moving. I mean, literally, they moved through the caves, you know, they moved into the ship, then they moved into the bridge, and then they move into the forest, and then they're just keep on moving and running away from these things. And yeah, you don't have a chance to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's few episodes that are as good as these two combined. They're just stellar.
Exactly. And that was one of the great things about this one was it constantly moved. There was no dead time. There was nothing to do it. Like even when Amy had her hand stuck to the rock because she thought her hand had turned to stone. I love how Matt's doctor got her out of that too. He bit her.
Yeah. That was a very doctor thing to do.
Especially a Dr. 11 thing.
And it was
just fun. You remember the uproar though? How many people were bitching? The doctor doesn't use the gun, you know, and they were all up in arms and everything. And now we've gone back and, you know, we've seen all these episodes where old series doctors have used guns.
Yeah. Well, that was silly anyway. He wasn't shooting at a person.
No.
Right. Anyway.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, but I do remember that, Mike, when that cliffhanger aired and, you know, he pulled out the gun and fired and everybody was like, what is he doing? That's what he can't. Yeah.
All across the internet, it was like, the doctor wouldn't shoot someone or something like that. He doesn't use a firearm. It's like, oh, yeah, tell that to Peter Davison. Tell that to Colin Baker. Tell it to Tom. Tell it to,
So
I think even Pertwee did a couple times. I'd almost guarantee Pertwee did.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think Stephen Moffat probably loved that because it meant everybody was talking about it.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, it was interesting because the way we thought the angels took care of their victims, it absorbed time from their time of their lives from them and sent them back. But in this, they killed. They just straight out killed people.
Yeah, they just break your neck, and sometimes they take your cerebral cortex so they can speak to you. I mean, that there's a lot of body horror in this one. That, I mean, it's kind of a mixture of psychological horror and body horror, and it works really well. It's very creepy.
And then it's juxtaposed with humor because, you know, Angel Bob.
Poor Bob.
But it was neat to see.
I love it, though, the fact that even Angel Bob calls himself Angel Bob. Like, he's like, Angel yeah. Bob here. And I'm like, even he's in on the joke. Like, it's just really funny.
Mm-hmm. It's just a running joke. But the horror when they finally realized that they were surrounded by angels in the caves, when, you know, they were like looking, all right, wait a minute. Let's shut off your lights. Trust me on this, you know, and they were each shutting off their flashlights. And then the doctor shut it off and all the statues turned. Because they realized that the original race on the planet had two heads and all the statues had one.
And you love it because even rewatching it, you're looking at it going, they don't really, even though they mention the race had two heads, it still just doesn't dawn on you, even though we know the joke now, or at least the what's wrong with the statues. You could see how people did not pick up on it.
No, because the line basically was just a throw off until like 10 minutes later. And when the doctor realizes it, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean, and that is a great scene when the doctor goes, oh, and River Song goes, oh.
There's a few moments where they connect like that, even though, you know, this doctor has never met her before. They still connect. It's just like they almost finish each other's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You could see that there's a connection from it. Doctor, Sonic me.
Yeah. I mean, they got the banter down right from the beginning. I mean, they're just throwing it back and forth, and it is so much fun to watch.
Was this the first one where they did Hello, Sweetie? Because I don't think they did it in the library episode.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, they, I don't think yeah. they did. I think it was.
Yeah, she. Well, in the library, she does say spoilers, though, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you see, of course, the diary.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. The diary.
Well, he gets the diary, right?
Well, he gets the diary at the library. And he leaves it.
Yeah,
there.
He gets it at the library. Yeah. But he leaves it there.
Like he can't go back for it.
No. Of course not. Well, if you remember, they both end up having their own diaries also, because if you remember in the astronaut story, they go through to sync up where they are in each other's time streams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the whole Jim the Fish thing and such.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a throwback to the second Doctor and his 5,000 year diary or whatever it was.
Exactly. And I loved how the diary looks like the TARDIS.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and I love the one scene. Where's the noise? It's like, because you've left the parking brake on. I like leaving the parking brake. That's such a husband thing, same thing to say. That's something I would say to Judy, you know? But I like it that way, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very believable that these two have history. I mean, even though we don't know what it really is at this point, it's very obvious that they do have history, and they're having just loads of fun with it, and it's fantastic to watch.
Oh,
yeah, this is where, I mean, even though... You're right, Barbara. She was introduced, River Song was introduced in that two-parter with David. This is where she really becomes her own character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where, you know, you're like, this is, I want to see, like, I could watch a River Song series.
Oh, yes, yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so glad Big Finish has started including her in things now. And here's a plug for Big Finish, everybody, because Alex Kingston is fantastic and Big Finish, just as much fun.
Yeah, well, we'll be listening to the second series of that pretty soon.
Yeah, later in the summer.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's $30, so.
The things we do for our art.
The things I do to have Alex Kingston whisper in my ear.
Yeah. You know, Mike, you got to meet her though last year.
I've met her twice. But yes, last year was really amazing. At Dragon Con. She's nice. And like, and I agree that she's got chemistry with Matt, but you know what? I think she's got chemistry, and this sounds awful, but I was going to say she has the ability to have chemistry with anybody. Except for maybe on Arrow. That was unfortunate.
Oh, but, that was not her fault. But, that was not her fault.
That American accent was her fault.
But I will say, though, I mean, she interacted with three doctors, and each one of them in a different way, but yet in the same river song way. And she had, like, different chemistry with them, but yet still chemistry. And I think you could put her with, like, you know, she even has chemistry with Father Octavian a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. I think her character really is a lot like Captain Jack in the way that you can put them with anybody, and they're just such a strong
character.
Literally. they're just gonna, like, they're just gonna work with them, you know?
No, that's true. That's why we always joked about it, that the world would explode if Jack and River got into the same room together.
Yes, it would.
So it would be kind of interesting to see. But yeah, we're going to be definitely seeing more of River Song later this summer on her Station Who. So it's pretty darn awesome.
Yay.
So it's kind of cool.
No complaints from me.
No, definitely not. I did enjoy the return of the crack. We had that. I had to go there. And it was, you know, because you thought, oh, after this one, though, you thought, oh, the crack's done. It sucked up the angels. No more crack. But it also,
well, he even says that it's not done. Like, he says at the end, like, no, we didn't. We just put a Band-Aid on it. It's coming back. Like, he hasn't, like, the explosion that caused it is still going to happen.
Well, exactly. Well, and it's interesting too, because this story also brought up the other doctor in it. You had the Matt from who was going backwards in time from the final episode.
Oh, that's
that scene
get on and off.
Yeah, that scene still feels awkward. Like, it does. It's like, even, I mean, I think we all sensed it when we first saw it. Like, when he comes back and reassures her or whatever, it's just, it feels weird. It just feels weird because, you know, he's running off with River, then all of a sudden he stops and does this, and then he's back running off with River again. And it's like, how did that work? So I still don't know to this day if it was intentional
it was completely intentional. I'm not trying to interrupt or anything.
No.
But it completely was intentional, because if you notice, Matt had lost his jacket to the angels.
Yes, but they could have, that could have been a continuity error that someone, then they later on went, well, maybe it's a, like, you know what I mean?
No, because he purposely says, remember what I told you when you were seven, you have to remember. And it had nothing to do with the story. And it was, sure. So I think Moffat was playing the long game already at this point. Yeah.
I agree. I think it was intentional.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's playing the long. I mean, he introduces and works on quite a number of things that do pay off later. he does actually, like, you know, resolve a lot of the things that he brings up here. So. Some, maybe not to some people's satisfaction, but he does he does resolve them.
Oh, exactly, and there is a lot of things started with this very first storyline, technically. And it just, it's awesome. And it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, it was neat to see the actor, who, you know, playing Father Octavius is like, Game of Thrones. Oh my God. And in that show, he turned to stone too. How about that?
Poor guy.
He didn't turn to stone in this. He just died. I love his death scene though. He goes out like a man. He really does. He's like, just go, and, you know, and there's no harm. Like, there's no ill will. Like, he just, it really is a great death scene.
Mm-hmm. And he even says,
those are great last words. I am content.
Yes. Yes.
But then when the doctor turns his back, you hear the crack. It's just like, ugh. God. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of tough. So, you know, this whole storyline, there was just so many great scenes. And it was just awesome. And I love, you know, how they get rid of the angels. You know, it's like, now hold on to something because we got something happening. And he was like trying to be very sly about it. And Amy could not get it. What do you mean, hold on?
And that river couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, oh, you brilliant man.
Yeah. Oh, you brilliant man.
She's I guess very quick, very smart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. I just loved all the scenes with the two of them together. It was just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And
this particular episode had a lot of gorgeous sets in it. So kudos to the people who set that up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. That cost a pretty penny.
That forest alone.
The forest, the ship.
Yeah.
Even the caves with all statues. Yeah, I mean, they spent some money on this.
Yeah.
The lighting is fantastic. The direction's really good.
The music build up, especially where he does his trap speech.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Oh, and how frippin' scary it was when they were the first time they got into the spaceship and they had closed the door on top. And then you see the angel's arm and then you see it looking in.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, that was
just
awesome.
Just the flashes of light. Uh-huh. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sequence where he has to turn out the lights in order to open the door and to unlock the door anyway. And they have to, like, the only light that they can use is the gunfire, you know, like to fight them off. And it's like, that's just so well executed. And man, it's intense.
Mm-hmm. There's not much wrong for it. Did anybody get to see the extra scene that was on the DVD, the little bonus thing for this episode?
No.
There's a bonus to this one. You know, at the very end of the episode, the doctor says, I'm taking you to Rory. But she says, Rory's out at his bachelor party. It's perfect. This is perfect. And they go off. And, you know, the next scene it's a bonus scene that they filmed that, you know, as a special for the DVD, I guess, was Amy and the doctor on the TARDIS. And they were going to Rory. And she was like still trying to come on for him. And he says, no, I've never, you know, done anything like this. And he basically, you know, she says, you know, have you ever had any other women travel with you? And he says, oh, I've had a few. And she says, oh, how many out of all of them? Oh, a couple. And, you know, she somehow talks him into having the TARDIS show him old companions. And it shows like all the past female companions and on the big screen. And, wow. And it was just really well done. And then I love it. Oh, a leather bikini. How about that? Really, doctor?
I have not even heard of this scene before. I'm going to have to hunt this down.
You probably could find it on YouTube.
I have seen it. I forgot about that scene. And that actually is a nice scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did for a few different episodes. They did little bonus scenes for the DVDs and such. There was one, I think, with River Song and the Doctor when they go out. They're going out on a date, and
yeah, they had a few of those.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, right.
And so they've done different bonuses for that. So it's pretty wicked that they've done that kind of thing. And from this point on, you know, you basically, every time you saw a river, oh, next time you see me is going to be blah, blah, blah. And we might not be very friendly at this time. You know, that's later on. Or, you know, this time she mentions the Pandorica. And he goes, oh, that's just a fairy tale. And she was like, isn't all life a fairy tale? Which is pretty darn awesome. So, yeah, this is just great. All right. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and rate this one? Well, okay. So, Barbara, this was your choice. 1 out of 5 TARDISes, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. What's your pick?
Of the episodes, these are 5s.
I could totally see that.
These are excellent episodes. You couldn't even talk about this thing for days.
Oh, I'm sure we could, probably. But we don't have days. Our listeners doesn't have days. All right, Mary, what about you?
Five plus. This may be my favorite two-parter of all time. I absolutely adore it. Even though I rag on the kiss at the end, it's so good up till then. And the performances are fantastic. The direction, the production design, the music, it's one of those times where everything just comes together. And, you know, the interaction between the doctor, the Amy and River, and even Octavian is it's fantastic to watch. And I have watched these episodes a bazillion times. I have lost count how many times I have watched them, and I can watch them a bazillion more. I mean, that's a sign of how good they are. I can always watch them because they are that good, and they never lose it. They're always great.
I agree with that. That's awesome. Mikey.
I am not going to break the streak here. I am going to give it a 5 as well. Albeit I'm rounding up, but not by much. It's got everything you want and you love about Doctor Who. It takes two great characters, if you will, monsters and characters from recently, and yet like still uses them in a way that's awesome. So you don't have that fatigue factor or that, oh, well, it would have been nice if they were one off, but no, they had to do some more things with them. I can't, you know, looking back on it now, the fact that it's Matt's first performance, I mean, it might be the best first performance of a doctor actor ever. I mean, he just had it down, and then he just goes from there.
I know.
Yep.
I do agree with that completely. Damn it, I hate when I agree with all you guys. I really do. But yeah, I have to go with the 5 also. Mary said it perfectly, though. This is my favorite two-parter, actually, in the Matt Smith era. Because there's another two-parter in the Capaldi era that still beats this one. But, you know, I just love the story completely. I would give it a 10 if I could, but you know, it's my show, so I'll give it a 10. What the hell? So, you know, it's just great. 5 TARDISes is a compliment for this one. And I think it's being very, very, very well. If somebody had not seen Doctor Who before, I would still recommend this one. I think this would be a great,
it's not a bad episode. One to start. This would be a great one to show in theaters.
Oh, very
yes,
much.
It
so.
Would. Oh yes.
It would scare the crap out of kids. Truthfully, it would. There's definitely some scary scenes in this. So.
Just think about where they're flashing to the angels. Think about that on the big screen when they're coming through the door of the ship.
Right.
Exactly. Well, the thing is also, it was just so well done. And this deserves to be a big screen. You know, if BBC is listening, please contact your friends that, you know, who put out it at the Phantom event or something. We'd love to have this at the movies. If you did the Tom Baker, we could do this. Come on. Come on, folks. All right. That's going to wrap up the episode for tonight. You could write us, of course, at eswpodcast@gmail.com. We definitely would love to hear from you guys talking about all Doctor Who stuff. We definitely enjoy that. Of course, you could help support us with the Patreon, which we have all kinds of really great stuff up there. And starting probably this next week, we are going to be having all the way through September episodes from DragonCon 2017, panels and interviews and such like that have never been heard before. So please, you know, it's available to Patreon subscribers, and you could subscribe for as little as $1 a month. And to get bonus material, it's only $5 a month. That's just like one latte a month, folks. You could do that and help support the ESO network. I think that's pretty awesome. All you have to do is go to the ESO Network webpage, which is esonetwork.com, and click on the Patreon link right there. All that stuff is great and right at your fingertips. And, you know, we're never going to be charging for this show, but, you know, you could get bonus material and help support the network at the same time. I think that's pretty darn awesome. Of course, if you enjoy the show, help subscribe to, you know, our show up on Apple's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or anywhere fine podcasts are found. Or, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, you know, always friends are always looking for good Doctor Who stuff to listen to. And we've had quite a few new subscribers to the show, and people have been leaving feedback, and we have to say thank you. We do appreciate it. Of course, I couldn't do the show without my co-hosts. Let's, of course, thank Mr. Mike first.
As always, it's my pleasure, especially when River Song's involved.
And, of course, Mary.
Oh, what a fantastic two-parter to talk about. Thank you, Barbara, for choosing this one. I loved it. And if anyone's looking for my artwork, you can find it at maryogle.com or on my Etsy store at eVision Arts.
Excellent. And, of course, Barbara, we couldn't have done this without you tonight.
Oh, I think you would have done just fine with me, but thank you for sharing the experience.
Oh, well, you made it through your first episode with us, and hopefully you'll come back for more. So hopefully, you know, if you ever want to sit up on the show too, please feel free, reach out to us. We definitely would love to have more fans and listeners of the show coming up and talking about their favorite episodes. Speaking of favorite episodes, we're going to stick with the 11th Doctor era next time when we go kill. Let's go kill Hitler. That's right. Ooh. Another River Song story. How's that for you, Ooh. Mikey?
Yay. All right. All River. All. You know what? We should just change this to ES River.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure there's a River Song podcast out there somewhere.
I'm sure there is.
And if they want to join the ESO network, we'd be loving to have them. But, you know, definitely, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I hope everyone has a great 4th of July holiday here in the States. And I hope everyone up in Canada had a great Canada Day on July 1st. And, of course, what can we say? Our friends in Great Britain, I hope you're having a great July. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace. And we're done. Ta-da.
Woo!
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.